Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and yes, I actually almost forgot to schedule this. If you'd like to call into the podcast, then, well, talk to me. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there. Should be sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, I would greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, oh, you know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. You can also hunt me down on Twitter if you like. I am at Burketime, that's BurkeTime. So you can swing on over there, check me out, call me names, whatever you want to do. I'm fine with whatever. All right, we had a couple trades today in Major League Baseball. One I was a little surprised by, the other one I wasn't shocked at all, but we'll start with the one I was a little surprised by. The Milwaukee Brewers sent shortstop Orlando Arcia to the Atlanta Braves. Now, in return, the Brewers will receive two right-handed pitchers, Patrick Weigel and Chad Savoca. So I'm going to check here and kind of see. Weigel is is 26 years old. He did make one appearance for the Braves last season, just pitched two-thirds of an inning. So let's see. He did pretty well in 2019 in their minor league system. He did well, kind of a mixed bag. He started 18 games, but he also came in relief in 10. So a total of 28 games. He pitched 79 innings. He was 6-2 with a 2.73 ERA. So he looks like he is really close to on the brink or maybe ready to be in, you know, a major league bullpen or possibly a starter, you know, if that's what the Brewers are looking for. I'm not quite sure. We're going to go with Sobotka. He's been up and down for the past three seasons. Last year he made just four appearances for the big club. Really kind of struggled for them. 3 2/3 innings, but the ERA was really high at 12.27, and that's really been his problem. 2019 he appeared in 32 games, and his ERA was 6.21. You know, now last year, of course, you know, he spent at the most of it at the alternative training site. In AAA, before the Braves called him up in 2019, he appeared in 17 games, all in relief. He's been a reliever. He was 2-1, but that ERA was 4.79. So it looks like the Brewers kind of got a mixed bag here in return for Arcia. You know, I know, you know, they acquired Luis Urias in the offseason, and they brought back Travis Shaw. I believe Arcia played third base yesterday, which is genuinely where Shaw plays. You know, he played pretty well for them last year in 59 out of the 60 games. He did hit 260. He struggled in the full season 2019. He hit just 223, but he did tie his career high with 15 homers. You know, he's not a huge power hitter. He's a solid player. You know, is basically just kind of how you look at it. My guess is he'll be a utility guy for the Braves because the Braves are pretty set with, you know, Dansby Swanson and Austin Riley at short and third. You know, I'm sure Arcia could play a little second if Ozzie Albies needs a day off. And, I think the Braves were kind of looking for a guy since Johan Camargo has really kind of struggled. We'll just have to see how it kind of works out and, you know, where things go. But it is a bit of a surprise that the Brewers decided to move on from Arcia. And we'll see what Dan thinks here as we bring Dan in. Dan, what do you think of this trade here? The Brewers sending Orlando Arcia to Atlanta for basically two minor league relievers, Patrick Weigel and Chad Sobotka.
He was playing last night, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played third base last night.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, wait a minute, what the hell are you talking about? Has it been that big of busy of a day for me at work? I didn't get the notification. Did you take a look at what does Milwaukee have in their rotation, their 40-man roster, that kind of helps secure that spot for them? I mean, I wouldn't say he's, at that point where he's like a superstar or anything, but he's always been a big Cub killer. And, you know, the interdivision rivalry, you'd want to keep a guy like that. He's a solid shortstop. I believe he can, be key at leading off if you got him in that position. I know he's not really an everyday player. So I think, honestly, this trade definitely benefits the Braves.
Yeah, it's an interesting move. I mean, it's going to give Urias the opportunity to play shortstop full time, you know, which will be really interesting. You know, he was a prospect coming up through the Pirates or the Padres organization, and it just didn't work out there for whatever reason. You know, those things happen. So, obviously he's going to get a lot more time. The only other really true infielder they have on their roster right now is Daniel Robertson, and he's definitely not a full-time player. Maybe he'll platoon a little with Shaw against left-handers at third base. But the Brewers, they're another one of these teams that aren't loaded with a plethora of what you would call minor league talent. So it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of plays out with them and where, the move leads. I mean, their only rated minor leaguer for this year was a pitcher, and he was rated at 125. So, there aren't guys beating down the doors to get into the Brewers lineup. They weren't paying Arcia that much, so I don't know if, and I know I had read and, kind of heard people say that they were a little disappointed with him, so I don't know if maybe they expected him to be a superstar and it just didn't happen, so they decided it was time to move on, but I think they really left themselves kind of vulnerable here because you're going to be counting a whole lot on Travis Shaw.
Yeah.
He's coming off one of the worst years of his career.
Well, and to be honest, I didn't think Shaw was still there. I thought they moved on from him. Granted, so
yeah,
it's only one.
Back this year.
Oh. Man, it's been one of those days, huh? I only seen one game with the Brewers last night. I'm liking Castañeda. Man, you're always good with the Japanese names. I suck at them, but he looks like a solid first baseman. He's got the build, to play that position. I do find it interesting though that they back him up with Vogelbach. So I don't know what I'm looking at in their depth chart right now. I feel like they've got a pretty solid way to – they have enough guys, I guess, to give the off days and whatnot. You know, Vogelbach, I'm sure, would come in late innings for any, you know, any day. And, you know, having him maybe – I don't know why he's not listed as possibly picking up on third base a little bit, but I don't know about his mobility. God, did we ever even watch him play that often? I don't think so, so I can't give a whole lot. I know he's pretty solid at first. With Colton Wong, you know, his issues down in St. Louis, you've got to imagine he's fighting to have that job every day. So, I feel like they're pretty locked up. It just seems like what you said, though, you know, letting go of Arcia pretty much leaves Urias just the everyday shortstop with no one really there to kind of pick it up if, you know, he needs some time off. So, but, you know, like you said, on the Braves end of it, with Camargo really not working out, I mean, I think having Arcia in their arsenal is going to, you know, just be great for them. Granted, he's not going to have the availability to play the outfield, but Camargo's
fit. Well, we don't know. Maybe he can. I mean, he never had to do it in Milwaukee, but it's possible. You know, he may be able to fill in there if needed. I mean, the Braves don't really need him to do that. They still have, you know, Ender and Ciarte as their fourth outfielder. So, but yeah, I was a little surprised to see, you know, Milwaukee kind of give up on him, you know, especially, you know, with, you know, because again, like I said, you're counting a lot on Travis Shaw.
Yeah. So, well, and Arcia is a pretty solid defender. Yeah, he's got a good arm.
Yeah,
or good control.
I don't think he'll ever win a Gold Glove, but, you know, and now, I mean, you know, you're looking at a guy who's now played second and third in the major leagues. You know, so he's got that experience. I'm sure he wouldn't have any problem playing second base. So, you know, it'll be pretty, you know, pretty interesting to see how this works out. But here, you know, Shaw's last trip in Miami and Milwaukee, Dan, was 2019. He played 86 games for him, and he hit .157. He spent last year with Toronto, where he played in 50 games and hit .239. Now, his forte has always been power. He hit .600 for Toronto last year and just .700 with Milwaukee in 2019. You know, he does have a career high of .32. He did that with Milwaukee in 2018. You know, but again, you know, we switch over to a guy who's not a great defender. So it will be interesting to see, you know, kind of how this plays out for them, and, you know, if it works out.
Yeah, and it's
so
funny,
and
because I, and,
yeah.
Well, you have the mayor of Dongville.
Yeah.
Travis Shaw.
Yes, I do. Still in the box, by the way. I haven't opened it. I'm saving it just in case. So, and then in what was a less surprising trade, at least the player that was traded, the Rangers found somebody interested in taking Rougned Odor, as well as picking up his salary. And no surprise, with what he had left, almost $30 million, it had to be a big-money team. It's the New York Yankees who step up and take Odor. Now, in return, the Rangers get two minor leaguers. They get Josh Stowers and Antonio Cabello. Stowers is a 24-year-old outfielder who's actually from Chicago. He has never played above A-ball. That was in 2019. While Cabello is, I believe, even younger. I thought I saw, let me double check it. I thought he saw that he's just 20. Yeah, he's just 20, and he has never played above rookie ball. So they didn't get a ton in return, which isn't a surprise because the Yankees are picking up $30 million in salary. But are you surprised that it was, I guess, A, the Yankees that made this move, and then B, that they're picking up, that they just didn't wait and try to sign him as a free agent instead of trading for him?
Yeah. I mean, how much longer would they have had to wait?
Well, you know, he was designated for 10 days. You know, it's 10 days for to, you know, once you're designated to be traded or released.
Well, you know, you never know. There might be some discussion, some kind of agreement between the two general managers, no? And nobody really wants to lose. They don't really want to give up a guy and be stuck with all that money.
So, yeah, no, you know, like I said, I was just surprised because it had been almost a week, so they didn't have to wait that much longer. I just wonder, you know, maybe they were concerned there were other teams in the running who could offer more playing time and he would go there. You know, because obviously on the Yankees, he's going to be a bench guy. You know, he'll probably play some third, you know, when Gio Urshela is facing a pitcher he doesn't have a great history with. You know, he's played second base, obviously, so he can spell LeMahieu there. You know, and LeMahieu does play some first base as well, so he could play second when LeMahieu moves to first. I you know, after seeing, you know, I've seen Odor play basically off and on his whole career. I don't think he's got the tools to play shortstop, but I think he could play first, second, or third if they needed him to. And obviously staying in the American League, he always has the DH option if Giancarlo Stanton needs a night off. You know, and the one thing he has is power, and he's got left-handed power. Boy, that may come in handy down that right field line at Yankee Stadium, where I still swear to God you could hit, you know, 30 out a year if you played 81 games there. And you're not even left-handed.
No. Well, and that's what I was going to say. Kind of the fact that you brought that up, but, you know, he has the power, so, you know, being able to hit out of Yankee Stadium wouldn't be that difficult. You know, I did read that Boone said they did see him play some third base in spring training. But one of the other things that I've got to imagine, wonder if they take into consideration not just the you know, the physical, but the mental. And he has a fighting attitude, no pun intended. But he's got a great attitude for baseball. He's got a competitive attitude, I guess is the term I'm looking for. And do you think part of that helps play into it too? And then if you think about it, he's in the general kind of age group, you know, with a lot of their young players on their team. So I think all in all around, he's a pretty good fit for the Yankees. And then I couldn't find what the Rangers are taking or wrapping up, but you know, all I could find is that the Rangers are picking up a majority of his salary. So being owed $27 million for 2 years, I mean, I don't know how far they'd go, but let's just say they took 17, you know, it leaves the Yankees with $10 million for 2 years. And, you know, this has been one of the moves that the Yankees have been making since they made that trade with the Cubs to send Chapman to Chicago. You know, they haven't found, you know, they didn't need to sell their whole team and rebuild. They've been able to make key moves. And you've got to imagine not throwing a whole lot in. So, you know, like I said, if the Rangers pick up 17 and the Yankees have $10 million on their books, that's not a bad deal for a guy that's, you know, that's been around the league and can be a great backup like you've described.
Well, it's kind of humorous because the reports are that the Yankees aren't paying any of Odor's salary. But when you look into the deal, it was, you know, Odor and cash. So what do you think that cash is going to do? It's going to cover
pay for
itself.
His salary.
Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, I get it. You got to make it look one way when it's kind of something else. But, yeah, you know, we're talking about a guy who I believe may have just turned 27. So, you know, even though he is a veteran, and he has quite a bit of major league experience, I believe, what is it, 6 or 7 years now? Yeah, this is his eighth season. And he's only 27. So he's a really good fit, and obviously he's still a young guy. So and you do always have to, kind of wonder. You got to remember, while Gio Urshela was great last year, when you go down his history, he's a failed prospect. You know, he was supposed to be, when the Indians drafted him, he was supposed to be their longtime third baseman. Didn't work out in Cleveland, didn't work out in Toronto. He put those pinstripes on, and it worked out. So there's always a chance he could regress, and they would need somebody there. Odor's the perfect guy, just in case.
Mm-hmm. So I did, you know, as you were talking before you confirmed his age, I did a little search on my favorite search engine, Microsoft Bing. I typed in Rougned Odor age. And, it came up with, like you said, 27 years old, born on February 3rd, 1994. But I got a little trivia for you, Big Jack. Who is the same age as Rougned Odor? I think you're going to nail this one. Prince Fielder, Shin Su Chu, Estrubo Cabrera, or Lewis Brinson?
Well, let's see. I know Chu and Cabrera are older. I would have to guess Brinson.
They checkmarked that. He was born May 8th, 1994, so we've got a month before they match up in age. I'm sure you're wondering why was Chu put in that category, because they are the same height at 5'11". So there you go.
Yeah.
We need some stupid theme music to wrap that little piece up.
we don't have any. Yeah. That's one thing we don't have. All our music is pretty set up there. But, you know, and then, of course, the Yankees had to make room on their roster, because Odor obviously is going right on the 40-man roster. So they have designated infielder Thyro Estrada for assignment, and they also optioned right-hander Michael King to the alternative training site. So, Estrada was kind of a utility man they had brought up the last couple years to fill in some spots. My guess is once he clears waivers, they'll assign him to AAA, so they probably won't even lose him. But, that's just, they had to make a move, so... just kind of work things out. And then, Dan, we had some fantasy relative injuries here that I don't know if they'll affect you, but the Diamondbacks today put their closer, Joaquin Soria, on the IL. So they believe he possibly has a calf strain. So if you have Soria as one of your closers in one of our fantasy leagues, Dan, you may want to go in and see if you can land Kevin Ginkle or Chris Devinsky, because it looks like they're going to be the guys who may fill in for him while he's out. So we'll have to see. And then the Rays put Kevin Kiermaier on the 10-day DL. He hurt his left quadricep. I know Kiermaier isn't generally a starter in most fantasy leagues, but when you're 20 deep like we are, he's a starter. The Nationals went hog wild here, Dan, as they put Yan Gomes, Alex Avila, Patrick Corbin, Brad Hand, John Lester, Josh Harrison, Jordy Mercer, Josh Bell, and Kyle Schwarber all on the injured list related to COVID-19, as well as putting right-hander Will Harris on the 10-day IL. So the Nationals are going to be a tad shorthanded as they start the year today. I believe their game is actually going on right now. So, yeah, it's a little rough in Washington to start out the year. So,
oh, that just means Starlin Castro is going to be full-time for the next 2 weeks. This almost,
yeah.
You know, not to make too light of it, but this reminds me of that, gosh, I can't remember what year it was. Was it 18 or 19 when, you know, Boston ran through that flu in their locker room? You remember in that first 2 weeks, and they seemed like nobody was playing.
So, yeah, and then what may be some bad news here in Chicago, Dan, Javi Baez apparently wants a deal akin to what Francisco Lindor just got.
I mean, great news for Javi, but...
yeah, which basically just means this will be his last year with the Cubs, because I just can't see them giving him 10 years and $341 million.
No, and, you know, I mean, last night set it off. He rocked the home run. But
yes, I had him in the FanDuel home run deal, but that was the only home run I got.
Oh, I'm sucking at that right now. You know, the problem I find with it is, will he be worth that, though? And I don't think, you know, as far as things go, I think this one just sits on the you know, Jed Hoyer's desk, you know, and you revisit towards the end of the season. I don't think, you know, just like with Rizzo, I don't think it's wise for either side to continue negotiations throughout the season. You know, I'm a big fan of Javi, but, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think he's in that Lindor category?
Well, you know, and I don't know if this is going to work for him or against him, but as of right now, and of course these guys could be signed before the season ends, not only is Baez a free agent, but you have some other shortstops on the market, namely Corey Seager, Trevor Story, Carlos Correa, and then you can throw Marcus Semien back into that mix. While he's playing second for the Blue Jays this year, you know, he was a full-time shortstop for the A's throughout his career until this year. So if you're a team looking for a shortstop, there are going to be plenty available. I would be really surprised if Dodgers didn't pay Seager. But you know the Rockies aren't going to pay Story because they're in rebuild mode. I won't even be surprised if they try to trade him before the year is up. You know, the Astros offered Correa like 10 years and 100, and I think it was $20 or $40 million, and he turned it down. So, I don't know if, you know, would they swap out for – would, you know, the Dodgers or the – Astros be willing to swap out for Baez and pay him, you know, instead? And then obviously if Seager or Correa signed someplace else, that would immediately put them in the mix for Baez.
So essentially what you're saying is, unless the Cubs secure his ass before the season's up, regardless of paying him, you know, whether we think that, you know, old man Ricketts is going to, God, you know, it was so much more fun when it was old man Blackhawks owner than now it's old man Ricketts. Yeah, old man Wirtz. You know, one of the hardest things I think looking at is you have to put some categories together, get an average. But, you know, you're really looking at 4 years of his career. And then this year would be his fifth year. The 2018 is definitely the outlier because he hit 160 games. And I think that's amazing. I would love to see more guys do that, but obviously it's not going to happen. So you're looking at 140 games. And it just seems like the longer he plays, the better he does. You know, in 2018, like I said, he hit 160 games. His batting average was .290, which I know doesn't mean shit anymore. His slugging was .554, and his on-base OPS was .880. Granted, he did strike out 167 times, but he had 111 RBIs with 34 home runs. So to me, with this kid, he's really healthy. He doesn't seem to get nagged with injuries too much. And, of course, knock on wood, I could screw that all up for him right now by saying that. But I think, you know, the best way to get him that money is if he's playing that amount of time for a season, just going all out and letting Javi play. You know, his numbers are lower kind of considerably. Well, maybe not considerably, but they just don't peak as high when he's only playing 145 games. So I guess it depends on where you're at with it and how comfortable you are with your team. And, you know, at the end of the day, the wins matter. But having a guy like this in your lineup every single day is going to bring up, give you a bunch of wins in that W column.
Yeah, you know, and you have to remember, you know, one of the other reasons the Cubs probably won't re-sign him is, you know, Nico Horner is a shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's been in their pipeline for a while. My guess is they'll let Javi walk because somebody is going to pay him. While I don't think he should Lindor money, you know, he'll probably get, you know, 8 years from somebody at close to $30 million. So it's going to be up there, and it's just something the Cubs aren't going to do at this point because they're in save money mode. And, you know, I think out of the three big free agents they have coming up, being Bryant, Baez, and Rizzo, the only one they're honestly interested in bringing back is Rizzo.
Yeah.
So,
and if you're Rizzo, do you really, you know, is that something you want to go with? It cracks me up because the more I see Eric Sogard on this Chicago Cubs team, it just cracks me up because I had this is so stupid. But, you know, back when I used to play Xbox, you know, I stole him from Oakland to play with the Cubs, you know, like 10 years ago. So it just kind of cracks me up that he's playing with the Cubs now. But, you know, like you said, if Javi walks, I don't know the details on Matt Duffy's contract.
He just 1 year. He was a minor league signing with the invite to free agency.
Oh, lucky him. I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, the only guy that's locked up on this roster for the infield right now is David Bote. So what does that say to you,
yeah,
Big Jack? I mean, you only have one guy, and is this the first year or the second year of his 5-year contract?
I think it's the second, but I thought it was 7 years they signed Bote to.
Oh, 7 years? I don't
know.
Yeah,
I'll double check as you're going along here, but yeah, I'll let you know.
You know, like you said, either way, I mean, you only have David Bote. Nico Horner will come up and fill in. But other than that, you know, Brian's gone. Javi's gone. Matt Duffy's gone. Eric Sogard's going to, well, maybe, but he'll be gone. You know, and like you said, that leaves Rizzo. And Rizzo is here in Chicago, you know, does a lot, but is that enough for him to stay? And at 32 years old, what is he, you know, what are his expectations? Because, you know, he's not going to get a 10-year contract. That's another 10-year.
I won't do.
You know,
here you go. Here, David Bote signed a 5-year, $16 million deal. He is in the second year of it, and the reason I thought it was a 7-year deal is because it has two option years at the end of it, and they're club option years. So there you go. That's here. But, yeah, and you got to remember, the only reason Eric Sogard is on the Major League roster is to push Nico Horner's arbitration date back. That's the only reason he's here. You know, I mean, I won't be surprised as soon as Horner's date is up that Sogard is designated for assignment and they released him. You know, that wouldn't shock me at all. But, yeah, the only guys signed for next year are Jason Hayward, Kyle Hendricks, and David Bodie. They do have options on Craig Kimbrell, Jock Peterson, Jake Arrieta, Andrew Chafin, and Jake Marisnik. So it's going to be an oddly different team. And, you know, I guess my question for you, Dan, would be if, you know, say a team comes calling that's a winner, you know, even if it's an American League team, and, you know, they're a winner where Rizzo could spend some time as a DH, and they offer him, you know, maybe it's a lower deal. Maybe he only gets $20 million a year for 4 or 5 years, but he's going to have that option to win. Would he stay in Chicago and see if the Cubs would give him more money? Or do you go and try to win another World Series?
I think the Cubs would want him to stay because he's, you know, their anchor, so to speak. But, you know, if I'm his agent, I'm telling him to keep his options open. Obviously, if Baltimore comes knocking, you're not answering the phone calls. But I mean, you know, when you think about it, who would give you the best opportunity to kind of give them another shot at it?
I've already got one for you. All right. And I'm going right back to this team all the time. Luke Voit is in his final year of arbitration with the Yankees. All right. Jay Bruce is currently playing first base. He's only signed for this season. All right. If the Yankees come calling and, you know, they dangle, say, 5 years and 120 or maybe even 125 million in front of Rizzo, wouldn't he be, and, you know, nothing against him, but wouldn't he be stupid to not to take that and get added to that Yankee lineup with Stanton and LeMahieu and, you know, Judge and those kind of guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's already played with LeMahieu.
So, you know, I mean, just, you know, and that's just one of the options in the American League. You know, I mean, they, you know, they could let Luke Voit walk, and I know he had a really good season for him last year, but he's injury prone. He's on the IL again this year. So, you know, you let him walk, and, you know, you fill in there with Rizzo, or, you know, another option, all right, could possibly be the Astros. If they decide to not bring Correa back, your guy Alex Bregman has and can play shortstop. All right, Yuri Gurriel can play third base. He was an infielder in Cuba before the Astros signed him. They haven't needed him to do that. He's been playing first base. Boy, adding Rizzo to that lineup as your everyday first baseman and your part-time DH might not be a bad deal for them at $20 to $25 million if they could land that, right?
Not a bad deal at all. I was trying to take a look at one other heavy hitter, so to speak, someone that Rizzo would be familiar with. Because I'm not as quick on where they're at and the money. But Pujols is done. This season is his last season. I highly doubt they're bringing him back. You know, I can't see next year's numbers, but they're just around where they're spending a little bit more than the threshold of the luxury tax. So do you think that would be an option? Because, I mean, they're getting pretty stacked over there.
Yeah, you know, I know they really like Jared Walsh, but, of course, you know, Rizzo is a top-notch defender. So, you know, one of them, you know, Walsh could just DH. That wouldn't be a problem. You know, another team, Dan, that we may see under the radar possibly involved in this could be a team like the Minnesota Twins. You know, they're playing Miguel Sano at first base, but while he's a better first baseman than he is third baseman, he's a butcher. You know, Rizzo is a Gold Glover. You know, if the money was right, I wouldn't be surprised to see a team like Minnesota try to sneak in and steal a guy like, you know, like Rizzo away. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting if he gets to the market. And I just wonder if that's something the Cubs need to prevent and, you know, find a way to not allow him to get there. But I just don't know if they'll be able to do it.
The Angels would be definitely in line. They're 100. They'd be under the luxury threshold next year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Isn't he from the West Coast originally?
Ooh, that I don't remember.
So, but yeah, no, you know, the Angels would definitely be a huge option. Like I said, I mean, obviously the only issue with them becomes the fact that, you know, Shohei Ohtani ties up the DH spot on the days he's not pitching. Well, even when he's pitching, you all know because he hits then. But technically, you know, he ties up that spot. So if they really like Jared Walsh, they might not be as involved. But, you know, even so, it's still something they would have to look at. You know, I mean, you just don't walk away from a guy like Anthony Rizzo because he's a better – while Walsh is the better power hitter, Rizzo is definitely the better all-around player. So there are going to be some, you know, some teams and some options. And, you know, you do even wonder if you could throw a team like Toronto in the mix. You know, I know Vlad Jr. it looks like the everyday first baseman, but again, it's the American League, so there's a DH spot. You know, and I know they're using Rowdy Tellez right now, but you can't tell me Rizzo isn't an upgrade because Rizzo can hit lefties and righties, and Tellez really struggles against lefties. So, you know, these winning teams are going to look around and go, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be a fantastic option for us. So I have a feeling it's going to be a really, really rough off season for Cub fans, you know, as they watch these guys walk away because they just don't want to spend money.
Yeah. And I mean, I know we're only a week in and they look pretty good right now. So, you know, I mean, so I think that's one of the hard things is being a Cub fan this year is, I don't know if you want to say the uncertainty, but that's definitely a part of it. But the uncertainty also brings upon the inevitable. You know, and the one thing looking at their outfield right now with Hayward, Mariznick, and Jock Peterson, I like it. I like this outfield. But at the same time, this just reminds me more so of the days when all the Cubs did was put some names out there to help sell tickets. And granted, it's a lot easier now. Now you only have to sell, 11,000 tickets for too much money?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, but then when I see Jock Peterson on the Cubs, I also laugh because I'm like, how deep is the Dodgers, how deep are they that they're able to just let a guy like Jack, you know, you're a really good player, but we have five more guys that are even that much better. So that's one of the things that kills me about the Dodgers.
Remember, the trade got voided. You know, he got dealt to the Angels, and then, you know, with that three-team trade, they didn't like the injury on the pitcher they got from the Twins, so that trade got voided. Otherwise, he wouldn't even have been a Dodger last year.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So,
yeah, but I mean,
yeah, you know, you know, well, here, Dan, I got a couple more injuries for you that you're going to have to look into in case they're fantasy relevant to you. Cody Bellinger and Chris Taylor both left the Dodgers game against the A's last night. Bellinger was spiked on a play at first base. He ran into the A's pitcher, and he ended up being spiked. So, and he looked a little rough coming off the field, but they haven't updated his condition yet. Chris Taylor, your guy Chris Taylor, now that Kiki's gone, Taylor's got to be your guy. He was hit in the left elbow, and while x-rays came back negative, they mentioned he had a contusion. So, you know, don't be surprised if he misses multiple days. And then again, Dan, we have a Fernando Tatis Jr. injury. Apparently, I didn't see this one. I saw the highlights of Bellinger and Taylor. Apparently, Tatis took a big rip at a pitch from in the game against the Giants last night from Anthony DeSclafani, and then he went down, and he was holding his left arm. He was diagnosed with a left shoulder subluxation. Basically, it's a partial dislocation. And as of now, there is no timetable for his return. So it may be interesting then. And then our guy locally here, Dano, Tim Anderson, left hamstring tightness. So he came out of the game, but tightness is better than strain or anything else.
Yeah,
and apparently he's going to be back and going to be ready really quickly. But, you know, those are – you know what, three pretty big names, and then Taylor as a utility guy is huge. So, you know, those are big for us, and you can throw in that, you know, Michael Brantley is dealing with a right wrist injury after being hit by a pitch as well. So it's all guys that we saw drafted in our fantasy league, and especially the Tatis injury. You know, that's looking like a trip to the IL at least 10 days. So you got to wonder how that's going to work out.
Yeah, you're telling me Tatis is my first pick for the home run league.
Ah, so. You know, and then just throwing out the scores real quick, we had one final. The Tigers beat the Twins 4-3 in 10 innings. And then we have two games rolling on right now. The Braves are up on the Nationals 5-4 in the bottom of the seventh. And the Astros and the Angels are tied 2-2 in the top of the eighth. Your guy Zach Greinke made the start there for them. And he gave up a bomb to Mike Trout, and I think it was the first inning. But obviously after that, he settled down and he's pitched a pretty good game. Unfortunately, he won't be around to get a decision. Did you end up with Greinke in either of the leagues? I know he's always been a guy you really like.
Damn it. He's hurt too.
No, he pitched today. Were you not listening to me?
Oh, he pitched. Yeah, well, I have someone else every time you talk wants to talk to me at the same exact moment. You know, that could be.
Well, come to the plate. Oh, can't do that on air. I didn't say that. So,
no, yeah, you're right.
I'm just kidding.
I did land
your daughter in the face.
I was able to land Greinke. So, you know, it sucks though. He didn't get the win. He just got the quality start, seven innings.
Yeah.
I guess because they're tied. But I did realize, Big Jack, that I have a big dilemma right now.
Oh yeah.
I was excited because I had, granted, I don't need it. I hit my 20 innings this week, but I had four pitchers starting today. Zach Greinke, Marcus Stroman, Lucas Giolito.
Well,
I guess I don't really have a dilemma because I know how I'm going to handle this. And then James Paxton.
Cool.
So I didn't really look at the matchups when I plugged them all in today. So I think I'm going to sit James Paxton. And, you know, and of course, tonight will be the day he throws a no-hitter and strikes out 20 guys.
Well, you know, and it's always difficult because you have Paxton pitching against Giolito, don't you?
Yes. And that is
so you, yeah, you got to kind of decide who you think is going to do better, because obviously, you know, one of them is end up with negative, you know, possibly a loss. So
yeah, I'm going with Giolito, but at first I thought it was a dilemma, but we're not talking about the James Paxton of 3 years ago. So
yeah,
sorry, James.
Yeah, looking here, your guy Greinke had a good start. 7 innings, 5 hits, just the 2 runs. He walked 1, struck out 4. Oddly, your other guy, Dylan Bundy, who he was up against today, he went 6, 4 hits, 2 runs, walked 2, and struck out 10. The funny thing is 3 of the 4 runs scored in this game have been solo home runs.
And speaking of Big Jack, so, you know, a little fantasy drama, I guess you can call it. Yesterday, and I know you get a kick out of these ones, yesterday I decided to kind of go with my guy, you know, I always go with Buster Posey, over my backup catcher that I had to pick up on a whim because I realized I only had one catcher, Omar Narváez. And
yeah.
I'm not kidding, Big Jack. I don't know what I did. I, like, got up, went and did something, came back, sat down, looked at the TV, and there goes Omar Narváez with a 3-run homer. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time. So, you know, just kind of how those things work out in fantasy. It's just always,
yeah,
you know, always one of those things. You know, it's kind of the way it goes. So you just, you know, you learn to live with it. But like I today myself in a good way for a change. You know, I was going through my lineup to make sure all my guys were starting, you know, like I do every morning. And I had an opening at first base. So I decided to take a shot and plug Nico Goodrum in because he was leading off for the Tigers, and I figured, you know, he's going to get 4 or 5 at-bats, probably 5 at-bats. We'll see how it goes. Luckily, he went 3 for 5 with a run for me today, Dan, so I landed on something positive, at least, out of just a random swap that I decided to go with.
You know, and speaking of, you know, of your process of checking your lineups every morning, this is something I have to get back into because one of the best parts about hockey and basketball is the fact that none of the games start until 6 or 7. So I was,
yeah,
you know, putting lineups in at 5 o'clock or, you know, midway through the afternoon on my lunch or, you know, somewhere in the middle of the day. And, you know, it was not an issue, but now I'm like, you got to get back on it. You got to have your lineups in by 10 o'clock just in case the Pirates or the Red Sox are having an 11 o'clock start, you know?
Yeah, what I actually find myself doing now is the first thing I do is I put my lineup in, and then I go back in a little later after the early lineups have been announced to make sure my guys are starting. Like I had Keston Hiru. I happen to have him in both our leagues. I don't know how that ended up happening. And for whatever reason, and I'm really kind of surprised, he's not in the Brewers lineup tonight. So I went in and, you know, I took him out so I would at least get somebody who's going to get me at bats. You know, so yeah, I've been going back and trying to, you know, double check as much as possible before those games start. And, you know, it's a little tougher with the West Coast games for me, but yeah, it's just kind of like, damn, I got to make sure these guys are playing. So yeah, it's just like, whoa, what's going on? You know.
Yeah, and I like the Brewers unis they were wearing last night. I like the bright colors, the stitching, the whole nine last night.
Went in and checked out the Red Sox new uniforms?
That's not a new uniform. That's just a special event uniform that's supposed to, you know, I guess it's in honor of Patriots Day, the day that they run the race, the marathon.
Yes.
And it's supposedly in race colors, or I don't know if that's like colors for the race, whatnot. I think it's a great idea. I think it's cool, but I honestly think the whole getup is atrocious. It is. You know, if I were a diehard living in Boston, maybe I'd be looking at it. But if I were a diehard Red Sox fan living in Boston who doesn't run a marathon, I probably would just pass on it. You know, I don't know. I think, to me, those things are just, they're just ugly. You know, I like the little patch that they're doing to kind of signify it, kind of, you know, let you know it has to do with the race. But just the colors, the whole getup is just ugly. Sorry, guys.
Yeah,
Boston strong.
It's so weird to me. And while obviously, you know, it's a good idea. I don't have any issue with it. There's no red in it.
Yeah, that's what doesn't make any sense to me.
So,
well,
yeah,
you know,
it's kind of like, you know, could you put it somewhere?
You know, and here's one of the things that I seen a post in a group or page or, you know, whatever. I'm sure you've seen a bunch of posts too today with those jerseys. And somebody was talking about how he likes how, you know, Boston's doing this and Major League Baseball needs to do more stuff like this to attract younger fans and blah, blah, blah. And I just sat there with a dumbfounded look reading this because I'm like, I don't understand how this attracts a younger fan base. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I'm in some hack groups. My nephew's a shoe guy when he's here. And I'll be honest, I know there's a lot of guys out there that have, you know, 1,000 baseball hats, right? All these different colors. And guess what they don't do, Big Jack? They don't give a damn about baseball.
Yeah.
They don't watch it. That's what I meant. You know what I mean? So I just laugh when I see stuff like that. Like, this does not help attract a younger fan base just because you put together an ugly-ass jersey. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, there will be some collectors that buy it, you know, just because they're going to want it. But, yeah, I didn't, you know, and again, I don't have a problem with them doing it for the race or anything, you know, that it's a fine idea, but throw a little red in there so we can call them the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. That and, you know, I guess when you think about it, though, it's, you know, those would be colors that runners would wear, I guess you'd say, because you got the high vis, semi, sort of. And then that time of year in Boston, I mean, it's not the – you never know what kind of weather you're going to get. And I'm sure most of the runners are hoping for gray, cloudier days because I'm sure there's nothing more exciting than running a marathon in 80, 90-degree weather.
So, and you know, Dan, I know we're running out of time, but I got one thing here I think you need to do. You know, now that, you know, you have a young daughter and another baby on the way, and, you know, you're – let's just say you're an older dad. I think you need to reach out to via Twitter or Facebook or something and find out what he does, because somewhere this guy has found the fountain of youth, man. You know, I mean, he's 40 years old and he is crushing it right out of the gate. And this is just a continuation of the last couple of years he's had in Minnesota. You know, and I am so disappointed that I didn't draft him because I pulled up on him a couple times. You know, I'm kicking myself. So I think you need to kind of reach out and see if he can help you out with something.
Yeah,
we'll see if he wants to do that. But the news is we're going to go, but we've got only 4:30 to do this again. Well, we're going to United View, sportsradio.com. Get over there, look for the new blog popping up tomorrow morning. The link will take you to the Facebook page, but go over there and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can also find Dan on Twitter as well if you'd like to look us up. And, you know, if you stop on with the Facebook page, well, thank you for doing that. But remember, go to Twitter.com and look at the podcast on the website.